You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound. The sound of the start of another edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. We are the Roto Experts, and this is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Mike Blewett, along with my co-host, George Kurtz. We'll be taking you around the world of fantasy sports here for the next 2 hours. I get to say it that way now because it's not around the horn, although we will talk some baseball. But, George, it is August. It's clearly draft month. I've been participating in live drafts, mock drafts, really getting a sense of how people outside of this radio station and maybe off of our network are thinking. We've done a lot of pouring through statistics and lists and rankings and all that kind of stuff, but until the mock drafts and the real drafts really start going, it's harder to get a sense of exactly if people are in line with your thinking or not.
Yeah, that's why we do mock drafts, right? To get an idea of where everybody's going. Not that you should follow them religiously. Every league is different. Mm-hmm. One thing I always like to point out is that, generally in your league, your home league, if you're in the New York League, Giants might go a little earlier than they should. Jets, well, I certainly would hope they wouldn't go at all. But maybe that happens too. And the same thing, if you're in Texas with the Cowboys and Oilers, in Missouri with KC and whatever other states are out there. That's the way it happens, right? So I think you got to be careful there to make sure these certain players aren't, they just don't follow mock drafts religiously, ADPs religiously. They're a tool like any other.
Yeah. So to give a light example, and we'll dive into a little bit more about my mock draft later, and a real draft that I did earlier this week is the Sirius XM Invitational, which I did with some pretty good names, industry names, Kay Adams and Gary Davenport, who's been a guest on this show, Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard and Evan Silva, a lot of other people that you may have read on other outlets or heard from on other outlets. So it was a good competitive draft, and I'll let George kind of grade my team there. I've tweeted it out. I posted it on Facebook first. So for those of you that follow us there, please feel free to take a look at that team and fire away and give me some feedback. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz, and I mentioned earlier that's at FNTSY Radio to follow the network in general. So, George, the one thing that played out in the mock draft last night is I wanted to finally, hell or high water, wait as long as I could in order to draft a quarterback. And what happened was quarterbacks actually went fairly early. So I just waited it out as long as I could, and guys started drafting second quarterbacks before I got my first. So with that being said, I ended up with Phil Rivers in the middle of the 12th round.
Yeah, I don't know if that would bother me. I don't really have an issue with Phil Rivers. I think he'll be just fine. I could look at this draft now. Mariota went in round 7. That seems to be awfully early for him from what I've seen him go in most leagues. I've been able to grab him in quite a few leagues in round 10. Somebody believes in Dak Prescott. I don't. Cam Newton, I'm staying away from him as well here. Kirk Cousins went in round 10. That's about where he's going in most leagues. Bottom line is this. You can wait forever on a quarterback, and I will wait forever on a quarterback in your standard one quarterback leagues.
Yeah, the guy started drafting second quarterbacks in the mock draft threw me for a loop, but I'll take Phil Rivers all day. I think he's in that QB1 conversation for 2017, and I'm okay if I wait and I end up with him. George and I will be back. We're going to talk more about fantasy football after the break. What are the Dolphins going to do now? Mike and George for the next 2 hours on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back. It's Mike and George here until 10. Thanks for listening. George, there's obviously a lot going on. Training camps have been open now. It's good to be back, by the way. I was off last weekend. Enjoying myself at my baseball weekend, my annual baseball tournament weekend, and we went down to Myrtle Beach, and it was good times. Good times all around, but it feels like forever since I've gotten a chance to talk to you, so I hope things are well with you, George.
Oh, things are always well with me, right, Mike? Yeah. I mean, hey, yeah. We got at the Hall of Fame game the other night, and I got to tell you, I was almost taken for a loop. I'm reffing. I'm at the hockey rink Thursday night, mm-hmm. And it's about after the second game, it's about 10 o'clock at night, and someone actually goes in. We have their TVs in the rink, and actually asked the owner, are the Cowboys winning? And the first thing that blurted out of my mouth is, do you really care?
Yeah.
I mean, really? I mean, but I guess that's good. Man, everybody wants football back and all, so I got it. But they end up being the owner is not a big football guy. He didn't even know there was a football game that night. But yeah. I just found that weird that you really care. Does it matter if the Cowboys won Thursday night on it?
No. I got one update. So I actually was traveling earlier this weekend. I was traveling during the game. I had flight delays and all this kind of stuff. So I did not actually get a chance to watch the game. But the update I got on the radio, basically as soon as I got off the flight, was – and the Cowboys played the Cardinals tonight. No regulars played. The Cowboys won. Heard that on the radio. I was like, all right, that about sums it up. I don't really need to dive too deep into this. But it is good to have football back. Normally I would watch the Hall of Fame game, just circumstances didn't play out. I know you had fun at Adventureland yesterday, and I'm going to save a specific segment for you. Adventureland is an amusement park not far from where George and I live. So he had some sort of incident, which he's going to reveal on air, and I'm going to save it for a little bit later in this hour. But while we're talking about the
Thank
Cowboys,
you
George.
So much.
Yeah, I can't wait. While we're on the Cowboys, I know it's been beaten into the ground of exactly what's happening or not happening with Zeke Elliott. I was in this mock draft last night. This is the earliest I've picked in any mock or real draft this season. So I picked third as a PPR draft. I went with Antonio Brown. I just said, you know, let me see how I can put the team together if I went Antonio as opposed to Zeke Elliott. Since there's still, since it's still up in the air, I mean, do you have any idea? When Jerry talks, he's just going to talk to hear himself talk sometimes. So when he says he doesn't anticipate a suspension, I frankly can't take his word for it.
Gee, I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the way I look at it is this. If he wasn't going to be suspended, wouldn't they have announced that already? No suspension. Why? In my mind, the fact that they're waiting, Jerry Jones got we'll get inducted into the Hall of Fame, I think that's what today. Right?
Yes.
So the fact that they're waiting, in my mind, is sort of in reverence to him. They don't want the suspension to overshadow a judge.
Right.
So I think they'll announce it on Monday or maybe Tuesday, early next week. That's what I think it's coming down. I mean, we're hearing all these reports that there's some kind of committee, which Goodell was on. They met, and they'll now have a recommendation. Who are they recommending it to? If Goodell was on the committee, is he going to recommend it to himself? I mean, so I don't understand that. I expect him to get suspended. I think he deserves to be suspended. I'm a Cowboy fan, but I think he deserves to be suspended. I mean, from what we've known, yeah, the DV stuff, maybe that's real, maybe it's not. You don't know. The police haven't charged him with anything. But we all saw the video of him lifting up that woman's shirt. And although she said, that's okay, no big deal, he still did it. You know, Goodell doesn't like that sort of stuff. It could have ended up being a much worse situation. For that alone, he probably deserves to be suspended. Plus all the other stuff, I think he gets at least a game, maybe two.
Yeah, they have shown a tendency to, even if there's no criminal charges involved, to suspend players in these scenarios. When you've made the league look bad, when you've towed the line of bad behavior or crossed the line into bad behavior, even if it's not blatant criminal activity, I think you can expect that as well. Now, let's say it's a game or two. Maybe Zeke really shouldn't be penalized at all. Look, I had the number one pick a couple of years ago in a draft when Le'Veon Bell was known to be suspended two games, and I took him because I thought he would be so dominant on the backside of that suspension. I thought, you know, I don't need to be undefeated. I just need to have the best team come playoff time. And maybe Zeke really, given it's only a game or two, as everybody seems to be guessing, maybe he shouldn't be penalized at all in drafts.
I mean, you can make that argument. For me, I had the third pick in him, the Roto Experts mock. We just concluded that. Another slow mock. But we just concluded that, and I did not take Ezekiel Elliott. The suspension played a part of it for me, Mike, but it also came down to their Dallas schedule is brutal. And it's really tough. You're facing Giants twice, Broncos, Seahawks, Chiefs, and two of those matchups are in your fantasy playoffs. It just doesn't look very friendly to me at all, so I decided I was staying away from him with the suspension. I decided to play it safe, and I actually did the same thing you did. I ended up taking Antonio Brown and found my running backs later. I know people feel differently, and Le'Veon Bell is a I get the comparison, and I did the same as you in that league as well. I took Le'Veon Bell in several leagues last year, as I thought the risk was worth it. For me, it comes down to the schedule, though. That just pushed it over the edge where I'm just not going to take Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I think that's fair. How was I not invited to that mock? Should I be offended by not being invited to a slow mock?
You should be
draft?
Overjoyed
yeah,
that you're not invited. I wish I would. I don't think anybody. It was just there. I don't remember saying yes to this. All of a sudden, I was just, starts tomorrow. Okay. guess I'm going to participate in it. So, no, I think you should be overjoyed. There are people who have no – listen, it's a mock draft, though, boys and girls. Make a pre-draft selection if you know you're not going to be at your computer for a couple of hours. It's a mock. Okay, we don't need to wait for you to pick 8 hours for a player. And I love the guys on the bookends, you know, who take forever to take, too. So I'm going to have it twice. Or they make their pick at number 12, but then they still take a half hour for the next pick at one. What? You can't make two picks back-to-back? How does this work?
The guy that's at 11 and 14, when he takes forever on 14, it drives me crazy. It's like, look, you just picked your guy. Set up a top three. You know what I mean? If by some chance the guy at the 12-13 turn is going to take both of the next two players you want, we'll set up a third. This isn't hard, especially early in the draft. You have a good
idea. It's a mock!
Right. And it doesn't matter anyway if you get it wrong. I know we want you. We do this. We do this to get reps and to get exercise to see what kind of players you're going to get. It's important. I use it as an important tool, George. I think you do too. But the outcome of said mock draft shouldn't really impact you in any material way. So I would just encourage
I take the mock
to
seriously,
the mock
Mike. Yeah. I do, but I have no problem. Yeah. Okay, yeah, there's three plays. They're all alike. I'll just, you know, I pre-draft most of my picks because I don't want to be a slave to my computer where I got to go back to it and keep looking. The only time I don't do it is if I'm looking at a, you know, since I'm only going to probably draft one quarterback or one tight end. If that's up next, all right, then maybe I can't pre-draft because I got to make sure the ones I want are there. If not, I'll go to someplace else. So I get it in that situation. But, you know, some of these guys, if you know you're taking a running back, you never take a wide receiver, just rank them in the order. My God. I'm not saying do it 10, but you know, you're four or five spots away. It's really not all that difficult.
Yeah. So in this mock draft last night, I find myself getting Leonard Fournette a lot. And I don't know if that's just my, if I have an affinity to him or if it just keeps working out where I am sitting in these mock drafts. So this mock draft went Antonio Brown for me in this PPR league. Then I went Leonard Fournette because many, many backs had gone off and I'd rather him than Isaiah Crowell. I thought it was too early for Christian McCaffrey or Lamar Miller. And then I go Demaryius Thomas, who's a guy that, despite his 90-catch efforts every season, is sliding down in drafts, obviously because of the uncertainty at the quarterback position. And then I took Carlos Hyde. I want to get a sense of what you think on Carlos Hyde, whether you think that they are going to just try and push him out of the starting role because maybe he doesn't fit exactly what Shanahan wants to do, and then it's Joe Williams' job at some point.
I think it's a mess there. Right? And Tim Hightower performed well, too. I mean, when there's smoke, there's fire. And you draft a couple of running backs, you sign Hightower. It pretty much tells you they're not in love with Hyde. Doesn't mean they're not going to start, but they're not in love with him. Maybe he doesn't fit the offense right. Maybe they just want a lot of depth in their backfield, whatever it is. I think Hyde gets first chance to succeed or to fail, depending on how you're going to look at it. But if I'm drafting today, Mike, I want Hyde, but probably it's no more than a running back three. It's going to be hard to trust him as a running back two with everything that's going on there.
Yeah. So I ended up backing that up with Jaquizz Rodgers, who you and I both like as the potential to start for a month and maybe longer, even if he's not a dominant back. You'll see enough touches from Jaquizz Rodgers that I think you can take him in those middle rounds and gain a return. I got Frank Gore in round 8. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Frank Gore and Jay Ajayi and a couple other guys later because I'm curious what's going to happen if backs like that go down and how does that play out after that. Joe Williams, I actually did do a handcuff here with Joe Williams just because, you know, you try different things. You and I are not married to the handcuff strategy, but in this instance I thought it made sense where Joe Williams in round 11. Jeremy Hill there. Very quick, Bengals, how do you see this playing out? Is it Mixon's job from week one or Jeremy Hill ceding the job to Joe Mixon at some point?
We originally heard that Hill wasn't even going to make the team, that he was going to be cut eventually, but now it looks like he will make the team. I think it's Mixon's job. I think Hill is really the backup there with Gio Bernard being the third down guy, catch the ball out of the backfield. So I'm not really worried about a Hill there. I think he's really much like I said. Maybe he's a handcuff of Cincinnati in case Mixon gets hurt. That's the way I would look at it, not drafting Hill in any leagues.
Yeah, I had him here in the 13th round. I probably made a mistake there. Should have gone with like a Gio Bernard instead. But in any event, I'll tweet that out so you guys can take a look at it. But we'll talk more about my SiriusXM Invitational Draft after this. And we're going to spend some time on the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill probably gone for the year if you believe some reports. So we'll see how that goes. Mike and George back to talk about the Dolphins after the break. really taking it down here a notch on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're high energy, and now we are going into the Enya segment, just meditating about maybe our meditation can help heal Ryan Tannehill's knee. So maybe not a great call to not have surgery last year, George, for Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, you know, I sort of get it where you want to avoid the surgery, but weren't you asking for this? You know, and you're not going to have the surgery on the ACL. I mean, you know it's not going to be as strong than this platelet injection plasma crap that they're doing. I mean, now this is a non-contact injury again, where the knee just gave out. And that's not a surprise. He's wearing a brace on it, too, so he's doing everything he's supposed to do. Right? I mean, and it gave out, and now it looks like he's going to have the surgery, which would severely impact, if not end, his season. Right now, I guess they're debating. You know, rest and rehab would take about 6 to 8 weeks, or you have the surgery and you're done. We're going to hear all the rumors about Jay Cutler going there because he's worked with Gaze before, maybe Colin Kaepernick, da-da-da. For now, it's Matt Moore. Yay!
I mean, Matt Moore is a very capable backup. A guy with some experience. I think he's been part of that team for a long time. The timing for Tannehill is, and the Dolphins in general, is just really bad timing, not just for this season, but this is a guy, George, who has been really heavily debated on this show, on many shows, as to whether or not Ryan Tannehill can be their long-term solution. And contractually for him, it's just kind of a weird time in his career for this to happen. And for the Dolphins, who are really trying to evaluate, is the Ryan Tannehill the guy that's going to take us to the next level from where we got last year? It's just bad news all around.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crushing blow because whether or not you believe he's the answer or not, they don't have – Matt Moore is a very nice backup that most teams would love to have. Not someone you really want starting 16 games.
Do you think Moore's a top 32 starter, though? Do you think he should have a starting job somewhere?
Well, I think there are a lot of guys that have probably – you know, Colin Kaepernick should have a starting job somewhere with what the NFL is going through in this season or in this point in time, but he doesn't. You know, do I think he's top 32? Probably, but with just no upside. Doesn't have the arm strength, and at this age, you know, he's not going to change the way he does things. He's a caretaker. It's really what he is. He's a caretaker. If, you know, if Tannehill was only going to be out a month, he's a guy that might get you 2-2 until Tannehill comes back. Not that Tannehill's going to do much better than 2-2. He's not that great either. And the Dolphins have a decision to make. If Tannehill is out the year, this after the season is when they could get out from under that contract without a huge salary cap hit. So a lot will go down in Miami over the next 72 hours.
So if they cut Tannehill next year, the potential out is, as George said, after this season. You would have dead cap money totaling, I'm looking at it right now, $6.9 million, which you can spread over the 2018 and 2019 seasons. The contract on paper calls for him to be paid $17, $18, $19 million for 18, 19, and 20. So he's not unrestricted technically until 2021, but you know how these contracts can be team friendly and they can get out from underneath it. Dead cap money this year, for example, is $24 million if they had cut him a couple of months back. So that was a non-starter, but $7 million, George, over 2 years, they'll take that all day if they realize that they have to move on. The problem is they don't really know.
Yeah, that is the problem, because you're not going to get you're not going to be able to judge him this year. By all accounts, he was looking good. I understand it was extremely early in camp and off-season workouts, but that he was looking good. It's a tough decision. I mean, it truly is a tough decision, because if you believe in Tannehill, then he's got to come back, right? He has to. If you don't, if you're wavering, then this probably pushes you over the edge. Let's save the money. Why pay this? We'll start from scratch again. But that's also a problem. Do you want to start from scratch? You know, go out and draft, because let's face it, if Tannehill's out for the year, you're probably bombing this year. Even with Matt Moore, you're probably looking at a 6-10, 7-9 season. So you could have a top 10 pick. Mike, next year is a much stronger year for quarterbacks, so you might be able to draft the quarterback top 10 that you like, and you build from there. It's a mess.
Plus, you can even move around in the draft next year. Say they did have a pretty good season. They went 8-8 or, you know, squeaked into the playoffs with a 9-7 or something like that. They could move up. You know, they would only have to move up 10 picks or so in order to get one of these guys that they could potentially want. Tannehill, to me, has always been, for a couple of years now, has been the fulcrum in that quarterback argument. From a fantasy standpoint and from an NFL standpoint, he's right in the middle. Like, what? It is difficult to make an evaluation as to whether or not they should move on from him, because what are your other options, George? Or stick it out. And maybe there is some potential there for him to get even better. I don't know which side of the argument you fall on if you lean heavily either way.
I mean, it's tough. I think, like I said, I think Matt Moore is really nothing but a caretaker. So I think best case scenario is really 8-8. And I think that's asking a lot over a 16-game season. So obviously, if they're going to bring in Jay Cutler, they're going to sign Jay Cutler's going to be the starter there. He knows Gay's assistant wouldn't take him all that long. Cutler's already made hints that, yeah, I'd rather quarterback than be a broadcaster. You know, the sort of the opposite of Romo. Romo is done. Cutler seems like he still wants to play. So I think Cutler would come there and he would be the starter. If they sign Kaepernick, which, you know, most of these teams are all hedging against signing him. But if they did, I think Cutler would have to prove he should start over Moore. Or I think Cutler would come in and be the automatic starter over Moore. I think that's how that would work out.
Would you make that Jay Cutler move?
If I'm Miami, I mean, is this what we saw last year at Minnesota? And they gave up a lot to get Bradford there, yeah. Right? And I think it's almost the same exact situation. I mean, you sort of got, and Minnesota had too high opinion of themselves, or too high opinion of what Bradford could do, and it cost them. You know, I think Miami could be in the same situation here. A realistic view is Jay Cutler going to beat Tom Brady? No.
No.
He's not. So what are you doing here? But it's not costing you, but it's also not costing you anything over the money. Not costing you draft picks. So yeah. I'm actually okay with it. You know, you're not offending anybody. You're not offending a young up-and-comer as your second quarterback. Like, you know, Matt Moore's a veteran. He's a backup. It's what he is. You're not offending him by not starting him. It's just, I don't know what it would cost for Cutler. I imagine somewhere around $13 million, $15 million for one season. If you could squeeze that into the cap, in which we all know you could finagle the cap numbers to get it, yeah, I probably would.
I don't know. I'd be really concerned. Look, remember those stories last training camp when Tannehill and the defense weren't getting along. Remember he made comments about have fun with your practice squad paychecks and all that kind of stuff. And people were thinking that Tannehill had an attitude issue. Jay Cutler's long been talked about as a guy with having a chip on his shoulder and maybe not caring as much as he should. This is a little bit of a powder keg team as far as I'm concerned with that. They had to get rid of the last coaching regime because he couldn't get these guys to play the way they wanted. And Dominic Sue has been very outspoken at times about being used improperly. I would just think that if Cutler came in there and was like sort of not 100% committed and was just taking the $15 million bucks and things started to go south, like I just wouldn't want that to impact this coaching regime, which is did a great job last year. You can obviously there's some advanced metrics that will tell you that the Dolphins got kind of lucky last year to go 10-6 in the manner in that which they did. They won a lot of close games, but it doesn't mean that they're a bad team. There's still plenty of talent there. We're talking about, and the thing I want to go to next, we're talking about from a fantasy standpoint what Jay Ajayi can do, and he's been consistently a second round pick in a lot of leagues. I've even seen him go in the first. So you know, I know I threw a lot out there, George, but I guess I would say that's what my big concern would be in introducing Cutler there. I don't know that he's a cultural fit, even though he gets along with the head coach.
Well, Cutler's not a fit with anybody. We've seen him have problems all.
That's my point.
Right, all through. And, you know, but you still got to win games, right? I mean, I think the team knows, you know, you're not going to win much with Matt Moore. Not that he's terrible, he's not, but you look at your upside is 8-8. It's just what it is in today's NFL. You need a quarterback, and Moore can't do everything. Like I said, this might be different for me, Mike, if Cutler didn't know the system, when it would take him weeks to learn. He knows the system. It wouldn't take him long at all. So that's a bonus there. Cutler can do, for all his faults, he can throw all the passes. You know, yes, he can be a head case at times. Believes his arm, you know, he has Superman's arm, tries to throw it through people at times. He will turn the ball over. Matt Moore probably won't do that. So you have to weigh that as well. The defense is good. It's not great. So you're going to need points to be put up on the board here. You're not going to win a lot of 2017 games. So it's a tough choice. Like I said, if draft picks were involved, this was just like Minnesota last year where they actually had to give up picks on number one to get somebody. That's different. I wouldn't be doing that, no. Because, you know, like I said, I think you always have to have this come-to-Jesus moment with yourself. And I don't think Miami's ready to take that next step to go tackle New England. I'm not sure they're ready to go tackle Houston or Oakland, more or less, New England. Yeah. But it's just money. Yeah. It's just money.
Yeah. 8 touchdowns and 3 picks last year for Matt Moore. He went 2-1 in the regular season when after Tannehill got hurt. He got nearly decapitated in the Steelers playoff game. So we'll see. Matt Moore, look, if you're in two QB leagues, Matt Moore could be a starter. I think you keep your eye on this situation if you have drafts coming up. I would be avoiding drafting him because there's no guarantee at this moment that he's the starter for now. But based on what we've been talking about for the last 5 minutes, he may not be. So I think you have to avoid the Miami QB situation altogether, even in two QB leagues. You're going to have to opt for something else, like even a Browns or Denver situation. You're taking some risks there that you could ultimately have a starter out of. Anyway, George, quick on Jay Ajayi, how is this going to impact him? Do you think this affects his draft status at all because of maybe a lack of production at the quarterback position?
Well, you also have to worry about his concussions, right? He's already got a concussion. That's terrible for a running back. Because you have a concussion, what do running backs lead with? They lead with their heads, right? So that's terrible. I mean, my God, not good. Not good at all. So I'm certainly worried about Ajayi already. I've dropped him. You know, I dropped him to the second round now. I think he's behind the DeMarco Murrays or Jordan Howards now. They will still try and run the ball. They may try and run the ball more. But now teams are also going to play the run more. Right? And if Matt Moore's your quarterback, this is why Jay Cutler's also. If Jay Cutler's the quarterback, safety's still at the play with the line of scrimmage. Cutler can throw the ball all over the place. But if it's Matt Moore, those safeties creep up. Right? And that's more defenders in the box, so that's a problem as well. So I think it's bad for Ajayi right now. The concussion, what's going on at quarterback, yeah, I've dropped him a few slots.
And Landry, and real quick on Landry and Parker and anybody else, they get dropped too?
Not so much Landry, not in the PPR, but Parker stills, yes.
Okay. Come back. We'll talk some more football after the break. Maybe we'll talk to you, Darvish. I'll get George's thoughts on that. It's Mike and George. We're back after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. George and I were talking during the break, just talking about that Tannehill injury and how it could impact the wide receivers as well. We talked about Ajayi and George's concern there. He's still in an RB1 conversation for you, obviously, but you're heavily monitoring those injuries to see how he comes back from the concussion, see if there's any residual problems, really, until September. Right, George?
Well, your problem is, once again, running backs lead with their heads. He's already got a concussion history now. You tell me he's not going to get another one this year? I mean, I have a hard time believing that, Mike, that he won't get hurt again. You know, and then we know what concussions, you never know. Is it a week? Is it a day? Is it a month? You just never know. And once you suffer one, it's easier to get more. So it's going to be tough for me to trust him right now. He's still an RB1 for me. Every running back is valuable. There just aren't enough out there. But I think now you need to be worried, yes.
Yeah. So I'll turn the page over to the SiriusXM Invitational Fantasy Football League, which I participated in earlier this week. I cannot get a high pick in any draft right now, George. I'm like, if I crack the top eight, I'll be thrilled. And I drew the 11 hole here. It is a PPR league, fairly standard scoring beyond that. I think it's 4-point touchdowns for QBs. But in any event, the people involved are Dave Richard, Kay Adams, Evan Silva, Scott Pianowski, Gary Davenport, John Laub. Those last two have been on this show as guests a number of times. Brandon Funston, Joe Bartel, Mitch Moss, Jamie Eisenberg, myself, and then Steve Gardner, who's on USA Today. I could give you all the outlets of all these people, but I will mess them up. So I'm not even going to bother. I know Kay Adams, you can find her on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. There's some Yahoo and CBS guys in there and whatever. Jamie Eisenberg, you know when you're just in a draft and a guy's constantly sniping your picks? He was right in front of me, and it happened like four or five times that he just got the exact guy or team defense that I had lined up. It even got down to the end there where the defense, I think I had the Giants defense lined up, and he sniped it. So he did a really nice job. I obviously like his team because I was targeting some of the players that he had involved there, George. But in the 11 hole, it's a PPR league. I could have gone LeSean McCoy. Like, basically, I had it down to four players that I was going to take. It was Michael Thomas, LeSean McCoy, Jordy Nelson, and Devontae Freeman. So I got two of those. I went with Michael Thomas first over LeSean McCoy and Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it. I think you did it the way I would have done it. You had four players. You got two of them. Yeah. You know, so I don't know if I would have gone in that order. I might have taken Nelson over Thomas. I'll admit I might have taken McCoy first, yeah. But I don't have a problem with who you did. I do have some worries about Thomas as far as being a number one. I don't like taking guys who move from a number two to a number one until they prove it to me. Because what if Matt Thomas can't get open from number one cornerbacks? What if they do have issues there? So I have some worries about Thomas there, but not enough to make to get on you about the pick.
Could I argue, though, that he made that shift at some point last year, and despite the fact that Brandon Cooks was there, Michael Thomas really, towards the end of the year, had already usurped him and taken over that role?
Nope, can't convince me of that. Brandon Cooks is still there. Defense is still worried about him.
Okay, so fair enough. So we will see how that continues to play out. I have been on Michael Thomas. I do like him as a player. I don't know what it is with me and Jordy Nelson, and it's my fault because he can't do anything else to prove that how good he is as a player, but I always shy away from him in drafts. I obviously, you were on him last year, and you hit a grand slam of that because I was off him, concerned still about the knee injury despite the fact that it had been 12 months, 13 months really, recovery time by the time week one rolled around, and I backed off him. I was just a little concerned that he couldn't come all the way back. And he blew it out of the water. And still, I find myself, I don't know. I don't know what it is. He couldn't have possibly a better quarterback or a better role. You just have these little peccadillos regarding certain players. So I avoided Jordy here. I probably should have gone with him. Anyway, I took Jarvis Landry on the swing back in the third round. When it comes to PPR leagues, George, and this isn't cracking the code or anything like this, but I don't get so concerned about the guys that are going to get in the end zone. Obviously, I want that, and if that player is there, I will take him. But I am very concerned about, in PPR leagues, making sure I have a certain number of catches in that starting wide receiver core. So Jarvis Landry doesn't score, but I'm probably going to look at 90 to 95 catches.
Oh, maybe not, right? Well, what about
if now? Maybe
out?
Not.
Right. So now we have some worries here with.
I think Tannehill got hurt the next day.
That's just what, once again, the fantasy guard screwing with you when that happens here.
Yeah.
For me, the problem with Landry is he just doesn't score enough any touchdowns, really. He's not a red zone guy, although they were trying to get him more acclimated in the red zone during this training camp. They realized the problems as well, and they want to be more dangerous, or at least force defense to cover everybody, not just the guys who are end zone threats there. So it's an issue as far as that's concerned. Now, I don't know if his catches come down dramatically. Matt Moore's going to throw to Landry a bunch too. But, they be catches, but not much yardage behind them. The offense will be a little different on the board, so I'm going to have some issues with Landry. I have dropped him in my rankings, but only by about four or five slots. Nothing major.
Yeah, on the swing back, I got Davante Adams, Jake Seeley's favorite guy this year. So my starting wide receiver core is effectively Mike Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Davante Adams. I got Mark Ingram at running back in round five because guys are just coming off the board. I needed to make sure I got one there. Drew Brees, I actually took a quarterback early here because it got to that point, or you and I have talked about it before, I'm looking at best player available, and as much as I know I could wait in a league like this, I went with Brees. I figured I could take the quarterback now. There were some other question marks around that, like players that all had question marks, and he doesn't have one to me. So I went with Brees there, backed up Mark Ingram and Devontae Freeman with Theo Riddick. So, again, more catches there. I got Jordan Matthews in the eighth round, Delanie Walker, and I got Jaquizz Rodgers again. But George, I think I have just become a fan of getting Jaquizz Rodgers in those middle rounds because I know I have a starting running back for a month at least.
Yeah, I'm against taking quarterbacks early, but I probably would have taken Brees in round six as well. That's not to me. Yeah. That's not early anymore. That's value for a guy usually who's going about round four. So that's when you can convince me to take a quarterback early. I love you getting Delanie Walker in round 10. I have not been able to pull that off yet. He's always going about two rounds earlier than that where I can't get him. Quiz is somebody I don't want to say I believe in, but I don't believe in Doug Martin. But he's automatically going to come back in week four and get the starting job.
I agree.
For as late as you can get Quiz, I'll take my chances on that. What's the worst thing that happens? He splits, he gets some carries. Well, there's plenty of running backs we're taking who are going to split and get some carries. And I know at the very least, he's the starter for 3 weeks. So I think Quiz is actually almost criminally undervalued right now.
Yeah. So Delanie Walker in the 10th round is my best pick, I think. I'm with you. That's another part of the reason why I went with Brees, because it was the 6th round. I wasn't going early, quote unquote. There's a lot of this is all an experts draft. A lot of guys were waiting. Brees was the third QB off the board. Rodgers and Brady had gone before him. And I thought sixth round was proper value for that. Delanie Walker is probably easily my best pick there in the 10th round. Mike Clay, I think, who was hosting the show, it was kind of live broadcast. He was hosting the show. I think he gave me props for that one. And he was head scratching as to why Delanie Walker had lasted so long. I get Jonathan Williams as just a depth running back in case something happens to McCoy. I have somebody there. Sterling Shepard, Muhammad Sanu, Robert Turbin, Cardinals defense, Sebastian Janikowski. So one thing I did that was different from what a lot of other experts did, I only have the one quarterback in Breeze and the one tight end in Walker. I stacked up on wide receiver and running back depth anywhere else. The reality is, if I'm going all in with somebody like Breeze, what do I need a backup for, except for the bye week? I'll take care of that when I need to.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. I might question some of your depth here. But once again, I get the theory behind, if you have Breeze, he goes down, you're screwed anyway. You drafted him to a quarterback early. So I get that there. And I would agree. I think Delanie Walker is your best pick there. I said I've been hoping he falls in drafts, but he generally falls to round 8. Some people don't believe, but he's not falling to double digits. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, it just shows you, like, even in an expert's draft, some funky things can happen you have to be prepared for. And I was licking my chops, and Walker did fall into my lap. What don't you like about the depth?
I mean, Turbin to me is almost useless. I don't think he's going to do much for you there. Sanu, once again, I might have taken more high chance players. Which Williams did you get? You said Green
Jonathan.
Bay guys?
Okay. Jonathan Bills.
So, once again, not much there. I don't think you have any upside to your depth. And I generally take more upside in my depth. I do like Shepard, and this is before the ankle, which now they say isn't that bad, which is a good thing for, the things we heard about his ankle. It was almost like a 90-degree ankle. You
that
heard
was
a pop.
The worst. That's
my
like,
God.
It's like it's the Sterling Shepard drama from 2 days ago is probably a perfect encapsulation of 2017 reporting. Sterling Shepard goes down. He's carted off the field. He's crying with a towel over his head. And you come to find out, he got carted off the field because he was on the practice field that was 3 football fields away from the locker room, and he just sprained his ankle. So they're not going to make him walk 3 football fields across to go to the trainer's room. It's a low ankle sprain. It means he's going to be out for a week or so until it gets better. But it's not the dreaded high ankle sprain, and he should be fine. Right, George?
Yeah, he should be. I mean, the ankle sprains can last, and a sprain is a tear. He just didn't tear it in half. And ankle sprains hurt like hell. I mean, we've all had them. I mean, my God, those things feel like death. I've torn ligaments in both ankles and in my knee, and the ankles hurt 10 times more than the knee. I mean, I was seeing dead relatives. The ankle sprains hurt so much. The knee, not so much.
Yeah. So I think that's fair. Not a ton of upside guys maybe on the back end of my roster, so the starters will have to take care of it. But ultimately, you know, after the 12th round, we're looking at probably cutting some of these guys eventually anyway. So that's it. That wraps it up. The one curveball I saw here, which isn't a crazy pick, but DeMarco Murray went 9th overall. And you have him as like your 8th or 9th running back. So some people thought that was kind of a wacky pick in the first round.
It is pretty wacky. I mean, I would have taken Green, Thomas, McCoy, Nelson, Freeman. I would have taken all those guys above him. He probably goes, like I say, Murray to me is in that Howard Ajayi range. So the fact that he went before McCoy and Freeman, that's what's so surprising.
Yeah, so as Mitch Moss made that pick, maybe we'll take a look more at this later, but that's my effort. And if you're commenting on social media, so be it. George and I'll be back to talk about his trip to Adventureland next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Hopefully you're following us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. He's at George Kurtz. And if you want to call us, look, this month is draft month, and you're going to have a lot of questions, and we get that. So you can fire them in on social media, or you can give us a call at 844-843-6879. So please feel free to do that. Secondarily, I would encourage you, if you're streaming online or through your phone, to do so via the app. So please download the FNTSY Sports Radio app in the iTunes Store on Google Play and listen for free anytime, anywhere. George and I are here every Saturday and Sunday morning until the season starts. Our schedule changed slightly. The press release is coming out in the next week, but safe to say you can listen to us in the mornings, on the weekends, through the app. So please do that. Please download. So, George, you and I were chatting yesterday off the air, obviously, and you took the family to Adventureland, which is a playground near our homes in Long Island. So you had a good, fun day, but there's some sort of incident that delayed your dinner plans. Is that right?
Yeah. It's Adventureland is a very poor man's Great Adventure, right? Picture, you know, Great Adventure, but everything's a quarter the size.
Like a Six Flags park. So a poor man's version of that.
Yeah. So the night before, I was up very late. I'll give you a little advice here. If you have an iPhone, iTouch, iPod, or any of these things, and the damn thing's updating, don't interrupt the update. My daughter did this to her iTouch, and it took me 3 hours online with the chat people from Apple to fix it. So I was up late. Only got about 4 hours sleep. You know, we go to Adventureland. Things are going fine. You know, we're on all the rides. You know, but then we go on this thing called the Frisbee, which is we all know the pirate ship, right, that goes up and down. Mike, pirate ship?
Yeah, yes? Yeah, no, sort of, yeah.
Right. Right, but the Frisbee does the same thing, but you're going round and round, too. And okay. So, you know, I can feel it. Like, oh, boy, you know, stomach's not doing all that great.
Oh, no.
And my wife said the same thing. The problem is we got kids, right? So we can't not go on the rides, right? So we went on their version of a roller coaster. Okay, had no problem with that. Roller coasters weren't bothering me. It was definitely the turning rides. So we have two rides left. And my wife and I are almost looking at each other like, you know, one of us has to go with her. You know, my 10-year-old daughter, and she wasn't going. So, you know, I got to be the good dad there. And we're on the pirate ship, man. About two-thirds of the way through, I'm like, oh, this is not going to end well. And it didn't. Luckily, our row was empty. You know, but yeah, I didn't eat anything. The only thing I had was a Coke. But, yeah, Coke came out, man. That,
wow. Threw
up chucks, spewed. Puked, whatever you want to call it. And, yeah, that didn't
go well at all.
My daughter's backing away from me as far as possible. Here's the funny thing, though. We get off the ride. And I feel better now. First thing, my daughter, and I'm a mess, by the way. Yeah, I mean, it's water rides anyway, so you're all wet, so nobody can really tell, but I'm a mess. Daughter goes to me, we got one ride left to be going on it. So I had to still go on another ride.
You did?
Yeah, we went on the
that's
log
good for
through.
You. That's good. That's good parenting. Good, solid parenting right there.
It was so bad, Mike, that on the way to dinner, I had to stop at Target, which was next door, to buy a pair of shorts.
And
wore them out of the store.
Well, the only thing I'll say, George, better it came out the roof than the basement. So,
yeah, that's true.
So that is incredible. I did not know. I thought it was that your daughter got sick on the ride. I told my wife as I saw your email. I was like, "What do you think happened?" She's like, "His daughter got sick. She's what, 9 years old? She probably got sick on the ride." No, you know,
nope.
And I'm like, "Yeah, that's probably it. You're probably right." But I was like, "I'm still excited to hear what happened." And that is fantastic. That was well worth.
Good thing I didn't have a heavy
lunch
or any lunch for that matter.
And I'm sorry to those of you that are eating your breakfast during this. I apologize, but that was well worth it. George, a man in his 40s, got sick on a ride where his 9-year-old daughter kept it together. All right, we're back for hour number two. Mike and George will be back. We're going to talk some baseball. We're continuing to talk fantasy football. I'm going to do a segment called "What Happens If." See if things fall apart. Miami's already given us evidence of that. It's Mike and George coming back for hour number two on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.